Good evening, folks, and welcome back on this Saturday, the 25th day of April, 2020. I'm your host, Mark Hall. I got to tell you up front, folks, this was a tough show to put together for reasons that you'll hear. And I encourage you, listen to the whole thing. Because sometimes it's not the big, high-profile stories that cause you, or at least ought to cause you, to sit up and take notice. It's the quiet snap of a twig in the forest that tells you the unseen enemy is massing, but the attack is already inevitable. I've been talking about how Big Brother, thank you Rahm Emanuel, never wants to let a perfectly good crisis go to waste, and they're certainly not when it comes to COVID-1984. You could even call it the Green New Deal on steroids, because the communists have already gotten everything they were looking for via carbon taxes and economic destruction, including UBI Light, and they didn't even have to fire a shot, well, unless you count the kind that get injected. As the global industrial economy literally implodes, your carbon footprint is collapsing right along with it. And much to the delight of the far left, the entire energy infrastructure, especially petroleum, is now going bankrupt, and their public-private partners will soon be able to pick the bones clean for pennies on the dollar. This week, for example, West Texas Intermediate Futures actually traded negative for the first time ever, meaning petrified traders were actually willing briefly to pay people to take oil off their hands. You can literally see the vultures circling. Meanwhile, White House trade advisor Peter Navarro was on with Sean Hannity, admitting that China did it, spawning the virus in a lab, but the truth basically stopped there.
What's puzzling to me is why the mainstream media and the national Democrats don't get that.
All right, well, here comes the partial truth. They do get it. They know darn well what's going on, and that's the intent. They are deliberately destroying the once free constitutional republic. And it's about time all of us wake up and admit that, while there's hopefully still some time, at least, to try and stop it. Which brings me next to the other side of the coin, because Big Brother and his public-private socialist media partners don't want you to stop it. They don't even want you to know what the real truth is. And they're censoring the living hell out of everything that might contradict the official Big Brother narrative. Says Zero Hedge, and they ought to know because they were banned from Twitter forever for daring to be the first to report on the scientific journals that were saying, yeah, this is a lab-engineered virus enhanced with, for example, the addition of HIV proteins to improve gain of function, in other words, make it more transmissible and easier to hide, too. Their story late yesterday said that YouTube is the latest to say they'll take down any videos that dare to contradict what the WHO, the World Health Sick Organization, says about the coronavirus. You contradict the official narrative, you'll be muzzled. As the WHO finds itself in the middle of controversy over China's handling, maybe mishandling would be better, or no, maybe, folks, making war on the world would be better, of the engineered bioweapon, it sounds like any videos that even criticize the agency could be and are being removed. Of course, they add the issue of censorship by the world's biggest tech firms is hardly new, and it certainly doesn't seem like it's going to change anytime soon. Other major video platforms, too, like Vimeo, are on board the censorship choo-choo. Arjun Wali at Collective Evolution reports that Vimeo has now deleted Trust Who, a film directed by Lillian Frank, because the fact-checked and vetted documentary dares to question the godlike nature of Who itself. In our world today, he continues, there's a powerful presence of a digital Orwellian fact-checker, sick. And maybe by that they mean the one that was actually caught checking facts, but turns out to have worked at the Wuhan lab as one of the main players. No, nothing to see here. Move along. It's going around the internet and socialist media deleting any evidence that threatens corporate, political, financial, or elitist interest, or now, the complete and coming world destruction, or any information that simply highlights the corruption within agencies that have been tasked, allegedly, to safeguard us. And the elimination of content from various platforms, this piece says, like Vimeo, YouTube, to Facebook, and more, is being done in an immoral and unethical manner, which is why they, at Collective Evolution, are now concerned that their to Facebook page will be deleted too. Tyler Durden and Zero Hedge report that the CEO of YouTube, one Susan Wojcicki, appeared on, where else, the criminally negligent network, claiming they've seen a 75% increase in video views from authoritative sources. since the beginning of this year, but they've also been busy removing what they call problematic information, you know, anything that contradicts that official narrative, because it is, quote, medically unsubstantiated, i.e., gods like Bill Gates, Tony Fauci, and Susan Bricks don't want you to hear it. Because you might not take your economic medicine, and then your vaccination, like a good little slave. Oh, and speaking of which, another almost 4.5 million Americans lost their jobs and filed for unemployment in the last week for the first time, bringing the four-week total to nearly 27 million. That's 10 times worse than anything in the last half century. More dramatic, too, than what was once called the Great Depression back in the 30s. And it means the U.S. has now torpedoed 565 jobs for every single confirmed death attributed to COVID-1984. How's that for shooting the entire country in the foot and then reloading? Or maybe it's not such a fine sight to see at all. So I better start this story off with a disclaimer. This is not about jackbooted thugs busting down somebody's door in the middle of the night, shooting their dog, and hauling them off to a gulag. This is not about jackbooted thugs taking somebody out in a back alley and beating the you-know-what out of them. It's not about jackbooted thugs stopping somebody's car, conducting an illegal search, and then seizing their, ooh, you peons aren't allowed to have one of those firearms. This is about something far more subtle. Jackbooted thugs coming into a store under the pretense of, Achtung, you are not essential, and ordering that the business, because he's not essential, will not exist in a week or two. And not only are you not going to be allowed to make a living, ha ha ha, we're going to fine you and take away more than you made today by trying to be open when that is now verboten. That'll teach you. As a friend of mine used to say, the late Jack McLam, the most decorated officer in the Phoenix Police Department throughout his career, used to say, when terror comes to your door, it'll come in uniform, or in this case, when it comes to your store. We'll start with a summary of the New America with a K, courtesy of the Gateway Pundit and Jim Hopt, who begins by noting that the Winslow, Arizona police, and by the way, Arizona is one of the less tyrannical states in the whole USA at this point, not so much Winslow, it seems. Police recently released body camera footage of the arrest of a hardened criminal business owner. Well, full stop here. I've pointed this out before. If an owner can't decide when he stays in business, or even if he stays in business, well, then he's not really the owner now, is he? The fellow, though, who just found out what it's like to live under a fascist dictatorship, where there's a public-private partnership, but you aren't part of the club, 71-year-old Daniel J. Mazin, was taught his lesson back on April the 11th. This follows the order by Governor Doug Ducey declaring a public health emergency because of booga, 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 COVID-1984, and that was followed by a stay-at-home order prohibiting any business that was Achtung, not deemed essential by the masters of the new universe from staying open. And the problem is that in Fourth Reich Winslow, people complain, just like they did in East Germany under the Stasi, that a store called the Authentic Indian Store, which primarily sold Native American jewelry, was still open, well, at the time. Yes, in East Germany, folks, thanks to the Stasi propaganda efforts, the walls had ears, und wir will rat you out und shut you down. As the jackbooted, officers walk in, Mazin starts recording them with his cell phone. And when officers then tell him, Achtung, it is verboten that you stay open, he argues that he's in compliance, noting that he's changed the name of his business to meet the new arbitrary standards. It's now called the Indian Department Store, and he shows them the new business license, making that point. And he told officers he was now selling all kinds of things that make that true, like hay, paper towels, water, and food, which the officer said, ah, that's not food, those are just candy bars. Well, folks, pork isn't food either, and it's probably worse for you than candy bars. But the point is, who the heck gets to decide? In a free state, it would be a willing buyer and a willing seller. Whereupon he politely showed the JBTs his store's business license. Police said Mazin had been warned twice, Achtung, about keeping the store open, once by the Winslow mayor, and now again by police, in the days leading up to his final solution. Okay, well, if you know your history from the 1930s, you could call it the semi-final solution, but history certainly demonstrates where it's headed. The officer says in the body cam video that those warnings came after the new store license was issued on March 24. whereupon they pulled out the Trump card and demanded his driver's license. But he refused, saying, "You don't need my driver's license. I'm not driving." And he pointed out that his name, another form of ID, in other words, is actually on the business license, but Ak-Tung, that is not good enough. Whereupon they arrested him, handcuffed him, and showed him who was really boss. And at this point, folks, I think it's really vital that we listen to the actual audio from the body cam. So here goes. And since there's a lot of silence in here, yes, I'm going to edit it for time and also describe what's going on as the JBTs come in, case the joint, and then carry out the crime.
Hi, man. How are you?
How are you doing?
Good.
Are we open today?
Absolutely.
Okay. I believe you have already been given a warning about being open, not being open.
I'm in compliance, sir.
How are you in compliance?
I went and I changed my license. I'm not just a souvenir store now.
Okay.
I'm a department store. Indian department store. I am
so you
handling
changed your
hay.
Name.
I am handling hay. I am handling paper towels, food, dog food. I'm getting a bunch of new stuff.
Now, a quick comment here. Obviously, this is a guy who wants to stay in business, is trying to meet the new Ak-Tung demands, and is pretty clever about it. He's added things to his product line to meet the requirements of the arbitrary police state. So what are they complaining about, you might be wondering?
Dog food. I'm getting a bunch of new stuff.
What kind of food are you handling?
What kind?
Twigs, musketeers?
Yeah, anything. And so I'm in compliance. I'm legal, and I have a right to be in business handling these other products. I'm just getting prepared to get a big load of hay. I got hay over here. I got people coming in to buy it. I'm in compliance. Thank you.
Informally free America, folks, that would have been the end of it. Although it never should have happened in the first place.
Okay. Can I see your license real quick?
Huh?
Can I see your license?
Sure.
I don't want you to feel like we're harassing you or anything.
No, but you are.
How?
Say what? Did you catch that? I don't want you to feel like we are harassing you or anything.
I don't want you to feel like we're harassing you or anything.
No, but you are.
How?
Because I already talked to the police yesterday. They talked to you about it. Did they say anything to you about it?
Yep, that's why we're here.
Huh?
That's why we're here.
Well,
it's because they told us you were reopened after you were told not to be.
No, I changed.
When did
my...
this change?
Huh?
When did you get this change?
It doesn't matter when I got it.
Well, okay. It kind of does.
So he is trying to wave around his license, saying he's now a department store. Issue date was 3/20.
It's the law, man.
It says issue 3/24. So
the body cam JBT appears to be talking to somebody off camera, perhaps taking more orders.
Okay.
Plus business thing, though.
Okay.
It's dead, man.
All right, we will get it taken care of.
You know,
thanks.
Government's killing everything.
Okay. So.
I get one or two people a day. Corona bologna.
Well, unfortunately, you are getting a citation. I need to take a picture
care.
Of that. I need to take a picture of that.
Okay, it's just documentation. It'll be all right. Do you have a driver's license on
you? I'm not driving.
Okay. Tell you what. Go ahead and arrest him. Put him in handcuffs. And then a search incident to arrest. Get your hands out of here.
What are you arresting me for?
Put your hands behind your back.
Identify myself. Yes. It's on my thing.
No, it's not.
I'll give you my license.
No, you're already in trouble.
Okay, then you guys are going to be in trouble.
No.
I'm going to sue you, man.
That's fine.
Yeah, that is if he still has any money, if he still has a business, and if Big Brother even allows him to bring suit.
Don't take him out. Check his ID.
All right, at this point, there's even more silence, a lot of scruffling sounds anyway, because they march him out to the car and show him who's boss.
You don't have a right. Did my store come in and take them? You don't even have a right to come in.
Yeah, we do.
Well, I do, because you're
well,
open
if you're open for business, we have that right.
Wait just a blankety-blank a minute. Let's make this clear here, folks. Once upon a time, the actual citizenry in these formerly free United States had God-given constitutionally protected rights. To freedom of assembly, speech, worship, isn't that interesting? To keep and bear arms, to prevent this kind of jackbooted thuggery, even. In other words, an out-of-control tyrannical government at any level. Those who were paid by that public to protect and serve don't have rights. They have responsibilities, obligations, and sworn duties. Among which is to read and understand that Constitution that these guys are gang-raping. If you're not angry, folks, I'll say it again. You're not paying attention, and that always ends up in one really nasty place.
You don't have a right in my store to come in and take them. You don't even have a right to come in.
No,
well, I do, because you're
Open for business, we have that right.
Your rights, on the other hand, Mr. Peon, well, they're not even worth the parchment they were printed on.
And so I...
Take the money, will you?
Don't want the money. No, we're not
confused. In my wallet.
I just
get a picture of all this.
Driver's license, that's it.
So all we ask for is your identification and your attitude about, I'm not driving.
No, you guys are violating me, man.
Well,
you're destroying this man's livelihood, not to mention the rights you swore an oath not to violate. And he's given you attitude. How dare this little peon? We ought to squash him like a bug, but we're being polite today.
So all we ask for is your identification and your attitude about, I'm not driving.
No, you guys are violating me, man.
Well,
you don't have a right to even touch me. You don't even have a right to touch me.
Do you want her to take this cash?
We do, though.
You don't have a right to touch me.
Do you want this cash to go with you?
Give it to her.
Okay, Tim.
Okay, I am having
And give her my wallet, too.
I will, as soon as I pull your ID out of it.
And you don't have a right to get into my wallet.
Here you go, ma'am.
Do you have a way?
Yes, it's called a search incident arrest. The Supreme Court authorizes that.
If he would have
go ahead and have a seat, sir.
Because I don't give you an ID?
So under,
you're under arrest because you're in violation of the health care code. That's the misdemeanor.
You guys are a joke, man.
Sorry you feel that
all
way, Mr.
Maison.
All I needed was his
driver's license, and that was it.
If he'd have given
I gave it.
You know what? Jesus loves you guys. He can set you free.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay,
you can go ahead and go back to the car until we're done.
I'm going to the store.
Go back to the car until we're done, because right now you're in our crime scene. Back to your car until we're done.
And notice, his business is now their crime scene. Isn't that clever? But lots of folks are being taught a lesson here.
I'm going to the store.
Go back to the car until we're done, because right now you're in our crime scene. Back to your car until we're done.
Yes, obviously another peon has entered the scene. Sounds like Mr. Maison's wife is concerned about what's being done to this formerly free citizen.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, I do, because you're in
Mr. Maison, have a seat.
Please.
No, you guys don't have a right to touch me or even handle me.
Oh, absolutely we do. You are under arrest.
You guys are a violation of law and the Constitution.
Okay.
Listen to that. Yeah, they could care less about the Constitution.
You guys are a violation of law and the Constitution.
Okay.
You're supposed to
Yes, sir. And you have keys to lock up?
Yes, sir.
Perfect.
Now that they've shut his business down, yeah, let's lock it up so nobody else steals from the guy. Time goes by, the woman persists. She doesn't seem to care for what she's seeing in this new police state.
Just to be quite honest, he's not going anywhere either. He's getting released from the scene as soon as we issue his citation.
Right here?
Yeah, right here. We're not taking him anywhere.
It's all about the revenue. We're going to issue a citation, shut down his business so that it'll cost him a lot more to try to be open than it will just to cave into the almighty police state. They've both been taught the lesson. No point in proceeding at this point any further.
He's got all kinds of medical issues. We're retired. It's a mom-and-pop store. Nobody's coming in.
Right. I understand that.
She goes on to explain again that Mr. Maison has tried to expand his product line and comply with the new authoritarian regulations.
He's already been told and snacks doesn't count as grocery.
What about the hay? As bee and dog food?
No.
Who said that?
His license was issued before his license was issued on 24th. Okay, today's the 11th. He was told on the 10th he is non-essential and shouldn't be open. So even since that has been issued, he has been warned and told not to be open.
So let's make sure we're hearing this properly. He has been warned. He's told he's non-essential. He doesn't have God-given, once-protected rights to life, liberty, and property anymore. He's a slave. Get it? Hey, the state will decide whether he even has a right to breathe or not.
He was told on the 10th he is non-essential and shouldn't be open. So even since that has been issued, he's been warned and told not to be open. And so he's open, and so now he's getting the citation for it. I'm not taking him to jail for it.
Catch that? This is a kinder, gentler police state. For now.
If he would have just listened.
If he would have just gave up the idea, it would have been a ticket. And so he's open, and so now he's getting the citation for it.
And at this point, I think things are really coming into focus. The man was open. The almighty state has decreed arbitrarily that he is non-essential, and therefore he is not entitled to make a living. And just to make sure that point is brought home forcefully, the state is going to steal more money from him in the form of the fine associated with this citation for a non-crime than he could possibly have made by being open. So even attempting to make a living is a losing proposition. And the point has been brought home forcefully. He'll be closed down. God alone knows for how long, and by that, they mean only the state. And even if he eventually wins the threatened lawsuit, folks, the damage has been done. Ultimately, we all know this, he and all of us, as it turns out, are the losers.
I'm not taking him to jail for it.
No, if you would have just listened.
If he would have just gave up the idea, it would have been a ticket and a court date, and we would have walked away.
So we come in, shut him down, steal from him, and that would have been enough. But this guy has to try to play free American citizen.
But because he wants to act like that, he forced our hand to act like this to get his ID. That's all.
Yeah, this makes me angry. And yes, folks, it ought to make all of us angry. But there's more to it. It's sad as well. We live in a nation where people don't even know what they've already lost. And jackbooted thugs in uniform don't give a blankety blank about an oath they took to a document that they've never read and honestly, clearly, couldn't care less about. Why? And we're going to hear it in just a second. Because they are only following orders. And if that sounds familiar, folks, it ought to, because this whole pattern has been repeated over and over and over again. But most of us that have studied history can recognize the Nuremberg excuse that turns out not to have been a very good one at all, because it's a sad pattern that's been repeated by totalitarian regimes throughout history. Let's pick up the Gestapo story just a couple of minutes later. Seems like it's time to check in with the local Führer by radio.
So, he didn't like that. He is very upset, refusing to give us his ID. So I basically had Johnson restrain him and then take him to the car.
But has the peon learned his lesson? Is he going to be a good little slave? Let's keep listening.
Search incident to arrest. I was able to retrieve his wallet from his back pocket, pulled his ID out. So we're going to give him his ticket and release him from here. When we leave, I have a feeling he's going to stay open. How long should we give him to... I mean, technically, he should close up shop as soon as we let him out of the car. Should I just tell him stay closed? I have a feeling Chief is going to tell him to close up shop just because he's getting leaned on by the mayor.
There it is. Yeah, that's certainly telling.
Right. Should I just, tell him after we leave, if we have to come back and we see you're open, it's another citation?
If you don't get the message this time, we'll just keep bleeding you dry, because we can.
Keep going. Okay. I will let him know that after we give him his ticket and kick him out the door.
But wait for it, folks. Here it comes. Yeah, even this particular jackbooted thug is feeling just a little bit guilty about being the kind of scumbag that allowed Hitler to build the Third Reich and is now being repeated, even if he's ignorant of the history.
It's really crappy, but...
Let's all say it in unison, because we're all going to keep hearing this until we get a clue and say the answer is not just no to this kind of jackbooted thuggery, but hell no. We were only following orders.
Right. And he's I diversified. I sell hay. I sell Snickers. I sell... Yeah, he's got maybe a truckload here. It doesn't look like more than about, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5... Maybe. Just if I had to take a guess, 10 bale. If that.
And gee, Mr. Gestapo man, if he'd had 12 bales, would you have decided to let him make a living? How about if he puts on a yellow star? Would he then be essential? Folks, this is probably one of the worst stories I've ever done. And it's all the more alarming because it's so subtle, polite, even reasonable looking. Yeah, as Jack McLamb put it, when tyranny comes to your door or your store, it'll come in uniform. And most people, just like we've seen over and over again in history, won't recognize it until they're on the trains heading for, wherever it is that the almighty state decides to send them. But in America with a K, the even sadder truth is, millions of them are probably likely to starve first. Folks, the satanic state never intends to let a perfectly good crisis go to waste. But our forefathers fought and died to prevent far less tyrannical regimes that are being built now from destroying our liberty. If you don't know your rights, it's a lead pipe cinch you don't have any. And we'll pick it up there when we get back.
You ain't seen nothing yet. Baby, you just ain't seen nothing yet. It's something, it's something, it's a lover you never.
Welcome back now to the second segment for this evening, folks. I'm still your host, Mark Call, and we're talking about some things today that I suspect ought to be pretty darn disturbing. I think it is always disturbing to watch a once-free country literally do the things that most people have only seen up close and personal in Nazi World War II movies. But the truth of the matter is, General Santa Anna and others have put, well, not General Santa Anna, but anyway, those who do not understand the lessons of history are destined to repeat them. There are a lot of ways of phrasing that, but it boils down to the same thing. So with that all on the table, what I want to do is ask, all right, given that the jackboots are marching, given that all across the country people are trying to assemble and to say, hey, we still have God-given, once constitutionally protected rights, don't we? Well, nope. Achtung, you will be separate. You will wear your masks out in public. We're conditioning people to be good little slaves. You see people with a mask on, folks, think, oh, you know, the mask they should be wearing if they knew what was going on here was the V for Vendetta mask from Guy Fawkes. Anything else basically just says, oh, yeah, I'm drinking the Kool-Aid. So let me put it this way. Protests simply aren't going to cut it. Hell, let's think of it. Since both the First and Second Amendments of the Bill of Rights has now been suspended indefinitely, they won't even be allowed. Socialist distancing, don't you know? So let me say it again. First, if you do not know your rights, you don't have any. And second, there is a major attempt at deception here. Now, I realize most of the listeners here probably are aware of what's going on. So the biblical admonition applies, be not deceived. But guess what? It's pretty clear 90-plus percent of Americans are hideously deceived. And by the way, that includes the jackbooted thugs who will tell you, as they destroy what's left of the Bill of Rights and gang rape their oath before God they could care less about. Oh, they'll tell you they care. You heard the guy here say, oh, yeah, sure. But bend over, put your hands behind your back, and I'm going to do whatever I blankety-blank and well want to, and who cares what the law says? So the jackbooted thugs are also being deceived. Isn't that sad? And third, let me say it as kindly as I can. The economy is probably already toast. It's too late. The reopening that is so highly touted will not be enough. The bubble has already popped, and things are going to be truly ugly from here. Furthermore, that means the entire United States of America, as we once knew it, and by and large, the jackbooted thugs and their minions will tell you this on TV. Look at the Faucis, the Bill Gates, those that are really running Big Brother's government. The United States of America, as we knew it, yeah, is already toast. Now, there are some other possibilities here I don't want to dwell on today, but certainly an invasion by the Chi-Coms will prove that. So would an invasion by the UN blue hats coming door-to-door to take people's guns away or enforce the Bill Gates, I want to vaccinate you, whether you like it or not. The deep state could do the same thing. Who knows exactly which foreign or, foreign invaders, period, foreign to the Constitution anyway, will be the ones to finally stick a fork in it. But that is just yet another possibility. The bigger issue, and the one that I think we need to pay attention that's already baked in the cake, is an inflationary depression. You can count on it. That'll be followed along with the, usual stuff that we see in depressions. Food lines, those are already there. No, food riots. And famine, and of course, more of what we're already seeing too, crackdowns, tyranny, and yes, probably even invasion. So what I want to do with the rest of the show today is to say, all right, if you have not yet said, okay, gee, this guy's been tooting this horn for so long, come out of her, prepare, be aware that bubbles always pop, and that Scripture has a disconcerting way, for those that don't believe it, of coming true anyway. All of this has been obvious for quite some time, and now we're here. So again, what do we do about it? Now, one of the things that I will always suggest, of course, is study to show yourself approved. Make sure you know who you serve. Obviously, the jackboots don't know who they serve because they are violating their oath before a God that they don't care about in order to serve a God that they really do, the mayor or the chief of police. He says, jump. They say, yes, master, how high, and who can I shoot today? Well, I'll just handcuff him for now, but later on, once I'm conditioned to continuing to do evil, if you tell me to put him on a train and send him to Auschwitz or San Francisco, I will. And don't think for a second, folks, that that mentality isn't exactly what we saw in, you name it, Bolshevik Russia, Hitler's Germany, Mao Zedong's China, Pol Pot, Idi Amin's Uganda, you name it. It's not new. It's just, well, there's nothing new under the sun. All right, a couple of other stories to set up some of the things that people really need to understand. Now, here is, again, another piece from former federal judge Andrew P. Napolitano, now doing work for Fox, and literally of late, he seems to be coming back a bit. I think perhaps the inexorable rise of tyranny maybe has the guy thinking, I should go back and read that Constitution thing. So whereas 6 months, a year ago, I wasn't a particularly big fan, at least now he seems to be getting it a bit more. He wrote a piece entitled, "The Bill of Rights is Above My Pay Grade," came out midweek. And he says, yeah, correctly, the loss of liberty is at hand, because every day in America, mayors and governors, none of whom, and here he is actually nailing it, none of whom is constitutionally or lawfully empowered to author laws and then assign punishments, octung, for their non-compliance, well, they're imposing new standards of behavior, and they're nullifying liberty in the name of public safety. Those who would trade essential liberty for a little temporary security, said Franklin, yeah, you know it, are entitled, they will have neither. Okay, well, what he says is, we got a bunch of people that we put faith in, they put their hand on a Bible, they lied, and they have failed us. Those failures have been, he says, a violation of law. I'm going to go a step further, folks, because we better call it what it is. It is treason. It is open treason. Why do I say that? Treason consists in making war against the states and the people. And here are the states making war against the people that they, at least, claim to protect and serve. Or put their hand on a Bible and lie. Take the governor of New Jersey, says Napolitano. Yeah, please, take him. Take him off, put him in an orange jumpsuit, and try him for treason. Well, he says this. In a television interview with my Fox News colleague, Tucker Carlson, last week, Governor Philip Murphy uttered the words, listen to this carefully, "The Bill of Rights is above my pay grade." Full stop. What? You put your hand on a Bible and you don't even know what it is? It's above your pay grade? Well, then your pay grade should be zero and you should be paying people for the gang rape damage to their God-given rights that you are doing by making war upon them. Am I being as clear as possible here? Says Napolitano, well, his own words show that he is ignorant. No, I'm going to say it worse, folks. Remember, these same basically blankety-blanking idiots said, yeah, this does kind of make me mad, will tell you that ignorance of the law is no excuse. What's the law? Well, whatever the hell they say it is today. And ignorance of the law is no excuse, you might think, especially if you put your hand on a Bible before God and swear to preserve, protect, and defend it. The Constitution, says Napolitano, requires every officeholder and government employee in the land, from the president to a public school janitor, from a governor to a police recruit, take an oath to support the Constitution. Murphy took that oath. He not only lied about it, folks, he has been violating it, and he is among many, many governors in the United States, you could argue 50 at this point, that have declared an emergency and said, hey, well, you know, there's no actual emergency declaration in the Constitution. It says, void were prohibited by emergency declaration. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion, prohibiting the free exercise thereof, the right of the people peaceably to assemble, or, you know, whatever they think, except in an emergency, in which case all of that stuff's out the window. No. Either you have God-given rights or we have a different God. It is inconceivable, says Napolitano, that he doesn't understand this, that the words Congress shall make no law and the ability of anybody at any level to abridge the freedoms of peaceable assembly, petitioning the government, following their own worship practices, and exercising freedom of speech and the press, well, that language, he writes, is universally accepted, well, at least it was back before we became a totalitarian dictatorship, to command that no government shall infringe upon those freedoms. That's what he says is constitutional law 101. It's inconceivable that any governor doesn't know that. And no, don't tell me it's a joke. It's best a sick joke. And here we are, okay? All of the efforts that we're seeing today to make light of this or evade the truth show that this governor, and indeed all of those others who are doing likewise, are unfit for office. No, folks, let me say it again. They are fit for trial. Trial for treason. When I've made these arguments on Fox, says Napolitano, I'm often met with the view that, well, that's Murphy's job to balance liberty and public safety. Bull! He does not have the authority to make law, to suggest or impose punishments, or to violate the oath he took before God to follow a law that he doesn't give a blankety-blank about. King George III, Nos Napolitano, claimed he was balancing the rights and safety of the colonists back in 1776. If Murphy doesn't know all of this, he's unfit for office. He's also unfit because he's violating his solemn public oath and the public trust and for trampling human freedom. Again, he is committing treason, folks. He is making war on this, and it's about time we call it what it is. Because let's understand this. Unless people recognize what tyranny looks like, they're going to see a lot more of it. Now, here I want to take just a brief digression and cite a couple of quotes from probably one of my very, very least favorite presidents of all time, the first major American tyrant, Abraham Lincoln, who literally put a wooden stake in the Constitution. If you remember, he arrested newspaper editors in the North, for opposing his war on the Constitution and for killing so many hundreds of thousands of Americans. But nevertheless, that particularly nasty, evil liar who made war against civilians with Sherman's March to the Sea, the gang rape of the South, hey, it can get there too, he nevertheless said things like this, which just shows you a couple of things. A, how he was kowtowing to people that at least in those days understood a little bit more than most Americans do today, and B, what a liar he was. So here we go. Abraham Lincoln said, quote, "The candid citizen must confess that if the policy of the government upon vital questions affecting the whole people is to be irrevocably fixed by decisions of the Supreme Court," huh? He understands that? "Well, the people will have ceased to be their own rulers." How about this? Speaking about prohibitions, what, you mean like a prohibition to go out in public, to open your shop, to buy or sell? "Prohibition," said Lincoln, "goes beyond the bounds of reason in an attempt to control a man's appetite by legislation and makes crimes out of things that are not crimes." Does that sound familiar? Oh, yeah. He got away with it, and so are today's tyrants. "A prohibition law strikes a blow at the very principles upon which our government was founded." True, but it didn't stop him either. How about this one? Now, this is where we really get to the things that ought to resonate now. "If," he said, "by mere force of numbers, a majority should ever deprive a minority of any clearly written," you mean like the right to free speech, freedom of assembly, to worship, yeah, those rights, or to keep and bear arms, "of any clearly written constitutional right, it might," he said, "in a moral point of view," how's that for irony, "justify revolution." "Certainly," said Lincoln, "it would, if such right were a vital one." Like, the ones I've just mentioned that were listed there in that first two arguments, the first two amendments in the Bill of Rights. How about this? This is the one that really comes home today. "This country," said the guy who basically destroyed the Constitution in 1862 through 5, "this country with its institutions belongs to the people who inhabit it. Whenever they shall grow weary of the existing government, they can exercise their constitutional right of amending it, or," listen carefully, "their revolutionary right to dismember or overthrow it." Unquote. Are we getting to the point where the deep state that has usurped the constitutional government, along with governors and elected police chiefs and unelected bureaucrats and a whole bunch of jackbooted thugs in many, many levels of police statery, are trying to push what's left of this government, or what's left of the people who understand what the government was supposed to be, to that brink? Finally, this from the tyrant who tried to destroy the Constitution in the 1860s. "Our safety, our liberty, depends on preserving the Constitution of the United States as our fathers made it inviolate. The people of the United States are the rightful masters of both Congress and the courts, not to overthrow the Constitution, but to overthrow men who pervert the Constitution." Funny, isn't it, how we listen to what the guy said and agree, and watch what the guy did and say, hey, he is a liar and the truth is not in him, and isn't that exactly what we're seeing today? All right, I was asking the question, when we see this kind of stuff, and even if people say, well, gee, Lincoln, who overthrew a revolution, attempting to overthrow his unconstitutional actions, He used the power of the almighty state to do exactly the opposite of what he said. Well, what does that say for us today? Let me give you a couple quick stories that will help bring that home, and then we'll talk about the economic aspects. In California, of all places, the beach in Orange County, California, that was the home of a concrete skateboard park. You know, one of those great big things with concrete that runs up the sides, and the kids go in there and they ride their skateboards and so forth. Well, Octung, that was verboten. San Clemente decided they wanted to shut it down. The kids kept coming anyway. How dare they? Don't they know who their master is? And so what did the state do? Yeah, it's not like they have a whole lot of money anyway, but they decided the best use of our funds is to destroy this public infrastructure by hauling in some 37 tons of sand. Now, what did the kids do? You know, you've heard the joke about lemons and lemonade. Well, they turned it into a dirt bike racing track. All right, in Texas, of all places, two women were arrested by the authoritarian jackbooted thugs there, even stung, as it turns out, because they were obeying the stay-at-home order, and they decided, hey, our livelihoods depend on it. They offered beauty and cosmetic services from the privacy of what they thought was their own home. And undercover cops working on, quote, the COVID-19, that's 1984, actually, the COVID-1984 Task Force Enforcement Detail busted the two women after receiving anonymous Stasi-like East German tips from snitches that they were soliciting business. But meanwhile, Big Brother's releasing thousands of criminals from prison for a whole lot more egregious crimes than any of that. Here's a piece from Doug Casey, who has a very good libertarian background and an economic understanding. He wrote a piece for the International Man entitled The Real Reasons That the U.S. Has Arrived at the Greater Depression, talking about debt and the inevitable meltdown. Hey, we've done that a lot before. I'm going to say at this point, who cares? It's here. But what he does say is it's important to understand what conditions will be like and how you can get through the Greater Depression confidently. It's not going to be easy or fun, but it is possible. And let's understand, this is not just another cyclical downturn that can be papered over by printing more paper money, although that's what Big Brother will try to do. Still, unless we get a world war, which is a real possibility, the way people relate won't be changed too much. The physical world won't be changed so much by the Greater Depression, but the way people relate will. And that's not because of the virus, which he says, and I agree, is about 90% hysteria. That's just the pin that broke the bubble. He believes credit card debt will be the last crisis to hit because people will keep making their minimum payments at 18% as long as they can till Big Brother finally suffocates them, strangles them, starves them out. Then they'll default at the last minute, well, because they don't have any other options. Meanwhile, Big Brother at the state and city levels, represented by municipal bonds, well, those are a serious risk because state and city governments, unlike Big Brother at the Fed level, and his public-private partners, can't print dollars. And as their receipts from income, sales, property, and every other kind of tax are plummeting, what are they going to do? Answer, we've seen it. Just talked about it. They will arrest, they will fine, they will take people to a bogus court, and ultimately, yeah, they will steal. Because that's exactly what criminals do when there's no other option. And there'll be more criminals at every level. Understand this. More criminals that don't have badges and more criminals that do. And understand, says Casey, that the $24 trillion debt that the FedGov openly acknowledges is actually dwarfed by the well over $100 trillion, some would say many times that even, debt from unfunded liabilities. Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security, and that doesn't include other things like FDIC, PBGC, and other insurance programs. It's a rare American, though, that understands exactly how government debt will eventually reach into his wallet because there's all this lag, delay between cause and effect. Understand, though, that fundamentally what's happening now is no different than what happened in Zimbabwe or Venezuela. And the most serious problems of the next era are probably going to be that society will believe that what passed for a free market, even though it was based on dishonest weights and measures and crooked to the core, has been discredited. Listeners here know better. And one of the things I want to emphasize here in the last couple minutes is, as another piece from Charles Hugh Smith and others have pointed out, The price of a great many assets is fixing to crash. We've already seen it with oil, the poster child for forces driving the massive inflationary deflation. What? Is it possible to have both? You betcha. Understand that. Overcapacity in one area, oversupply, and a collapse in demand. There literally, right now, is oil that's going begging. It was so bad that the futures contracts, just this earlier in the week, were trading negative for the first time in history. In other words, people were paying them, saying, hey, I can't take this oil, nothing I can do with it, so here, I'll pay you to take it for me. Incomes will crater as revenues and profits crash. We're seeing that. And businesses, thousands of them, that could barely squeak through a 20% decline in revenues are now facing 50% or more as far as the eye can see. So you can guess what all of this means. And if you can't, let's spend the last couple minutes making it clear. What can we do? Well, obviously, come out of her, my people, understand that it's very important. No, it's vital that we know who we serve and what the real law is and what it isn't. Because ultimately, that's the only protection you're going to have against people who are armed and don't give a blankety-blank about any of your God-given rights or even your right to live. And the Nazis proved that. So did the Bolsheviks. You name it, folks. It's not new in history. And so what we have to do is understand that the time to come out is probably past, but continue to do as best you can. The alternatives to the fake fiat money, which the Bible says carry a curse, and if you didn't see that fellow in Winslow, Arizona, with his business license, understanding, or at least beginning to understand exactly what that curse looks like, do they have a right to come into a licensed business? Well, if you've asked permission from the almighty state, the state will argue, oh yeah, you gave away your God-given rights in exchange for a little temporary security. Ha ha, gotcha. So take them back, folks. Withdraw consent. Understand not just the economics, but the law. And do what you can now to make sure that you have alternatives to buying necessities in a criminal marketplace. Because, yeah, you know where this heads, right? Not only will Bill Gates want you to bend over and take the vaccine, but the vaccine will be part and parcel of the mark of the beast. Without it, you won't be able to buy or sell. Well, that is, unless you know who you serve, unless you come out, unless you understand that silver is constitutional money, it's also biblical money, scriptural money. We had better start making these plans now. Prepare. Have those necessities on hand. And just as important, be able to trade using real, honest weights and measures, things that the Bible says are blessed, as you come out and be separate of all of the evil that is literally going to take the entire world by storm. We are seeing places and things that are going to be more nasty beyond most people's possible comprehension. Now, I realize all of this sounds negative, so let me close on a positive note, because ultimately we are living in probably the most important and exciting time in all of human history. Folks, we are going to get to see things if we understand the prophecies in Scripture, and they're already starting to build to that climax that people throughout history have prayed that they would be able to see. We know we're supposed to be overcomers, stand, having done all to stand. So let me close with just a couple of reminders. One, don't be disarmed. Don't get on the train. Don't take the mark or the vaccines or anything that are associated with that. But more importantly, know who you serve. We're told that it's the overcomers who will ultimately triumph. And the point is, we have to be able to survive through what's coming. It is going to get very, very ugly from here. But the reward that awaits is also, just like the challenges that are ahead, beyond most people's ability to even comprehend. Now, I'm personally looking forward to that. And I pray that all of us, individuals, will begin to understand how important it is that we know who we serve and that we need to come out completely of a system that was designed to fail and is now doing exactly that.